You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
You would to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to deal a little bit in this word today. I want to deal with relationships between husbands and wives. And I want to tell you something. You single folk, get it while I'm saying it. Don't be waiting to get married and then think someone's going to counsel you into getting it. Look at me, let me tell you something. If you hadn't been teaching your children at home and living the life in front of them, then what do you think we're going to do in 7 hours of counseling? It's going to change their lives forever. What we say will go in one ear and out the other. And when they get done listening to us counsel them for their marriage, no offense to your marriage counselors, but I'm just saying, this is where reality is, that you talk to them all that time and they'll get away and still do what they want to do because it was just them that told me. Let me help you on something. I came from a broken home. My mom and dad got a divorce. Our family was split, 3 boys, and we were torn apart. So when I preach on divorce, I understand what I'm talking about. I'm not preaching this out of sympathy, but out of empathy that I know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. All of our Christian talk at home sounds good, but if your house is busted up, so are your kids. If you're in a home right now and you are remarried, you're in a second, third, fourth marriage, I don't know what you're in, let me just say this to you. I love you, but you need to make this one work. You need to get a hold of the Word of God and make this thing work. And you men, I'm going to tell you right up front, if you don't sacrifice for your wife and your family, you are not a godly man. What you are is you're a kid imitating a man. You just holding on to your stuff. There's no sacrifice in your life. You get all your toys. Your wife gets none. Something else gets your time and she doesn't. Say what you want to. Are y'all over in the Bible yet? Good. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse number 21. This is kind of a dangling participle, as a matter of fact. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Try to figure out who is that supposed to submit. I think if we read the rest, we'll get it. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Now, get these phrases, as to the Lord. And then it says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Just listen, circle that. The head of the wife doesn't mean boss. Well, my old daddy said, I don't care what your daddy said. Well, I had another preacher. I don't care what another preacher says. That's what's got you jacked up right now. Just listen to the Word of God. The husband's ahead of the wife. And we've got a lot of people to say right there is where you pin them down. Bless God, you make them do. Listen. A dangling participle is when you put a verb out in the front and then you don't make it identify, or an adjective with an ing on it, you don't make it identify something in the sentence. For an example, here's one, turning the corner, he saw the Empire State Building. Who turned the corner? The Empire State Building or me? We don't know. In English, it's a dangling participle. It's when you know you're turning, but you don't know who turned. And when you read the Bible, one of the problems we deal with also, we preach what we've heard someone tell us, and therefore we take that for law instead of really asking God, what is exactly this saying? This is living word here. And I'm just letting you know that the Word of God has some things in it we need to get a hold of. I want you to write these down if you don't mind, because I want you to get these. You're going to hear several things spoken of in there. One of them, you're going to hear the word head. You're going to hear the word submit. You're going to hear the word respect. You're going to hear the word sacrifice. Our Savior, and you're going to hear the word love. The 6 words, did you get them? Submission, sacrifice, head, body, respect, and love. In studying the Word of God, we look for, if you know anything about hermeneutics, when you study the Word of God, one of the things you're looking for in a sentence or in a statement, you want the context. What's the context about? The context of this is about Jesus Christ and the body. But it is also about the mystery of the husband and wife. Say mystery. I'm going to say this to you. It's still a mystery. And it ain't your wife's fault. Marriage is a mystery. The mystery is one flesh. That's the mystery. The mystery is, how does one flesh work? So we want to talk about that. Let me do the couplets, though. These six words are coupled together. Here's what we've heard in our history, that head couples with submission. Right? You don't have to amen if you don't want to, but you know I'm right, right? I mean, when we think head, we think submission. Head is connected to the body, not to submission. So if you're going to read this, couple the right words. Put together head and body instead of boss and servant. How many of you know the Bible does say you're going to be one flesh? The Bible says it already in the book of Genesis. Jesus repeats it in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, and Paul repeats it right here. And that is that we're going to have to let go of our mom and daddy. That means you got to grow up, boys. And then we're going to cleave or join our wife. And that means we're going to hang on to them. The word there is in the Greek, it's proskylo, which means glue, submit, adhere, and join firmly. In other words, your marriage is something that was made by God for permanency. Well, I've got extenuating circumstances. Not till you get in the Word of God. You don't have anything extenuating till you find out what God says about it. So I'm just going to say, I want you to get your couplets right. If you're going to study the Word with me today, get your couplets right. It's head and body are what's joined together. The other one is going to be, it's going to be submission and sacrifice. Or we're going to give the word, let me just find you the word here. It's He will be the Savior. This sacrifice, he's going to have to give up something. So submission and sacrifice go together. Now, I'm going to help you, boys. If you're not willing to sacrifice, you may not be helping your wife submit. If you're going to study the Bible, you got to study what it says. And then the other two, respect and love, are the ones that are hooked up. So the three couplets hook together, and you need to study it that way. If you study head and you take the legalistic point of view that means boss, we all in trouble up in here, because that is not what it means. Look at me. It defines the Godhead. Jesus is the head of the church. He's not boss of the church. He is a part of us. We are his body. I don't look at him as my boss. I look at him as my Lord and as my Savior. I look at myself as a part of his body, not as a servant standing outside waiting for him to say something. I mean, I don't know what your relationship is with Jesus, but some of y'all don't have a body relationship with him. You've got an out-of-body experience. I'm going to do what I want to because I can do what I want to. I'm born again. No, baby, I'm going to say something. You're his body. It's where the head's going is where the body's going to go. And I'm going to give you something else on these bodies. If you become one flesh and it is a mystery, how many of y'all know that if you have two eyes, you only have one vision? If you have two ears, you only have one hearing. If you have two hands, you have coordination to lift. Well, some of you do. Some of you don't have coordination. But here's what I'm saying. The Bible says the two are going to be one. The two are going to be one, and we don't see how it can work. It's a mystery, but we are one. My wife is a part of me. And when I begin to think about the body having two eyes but one vision, I don't know about the rest of y'all, that's a cool revelation to me that I'm thinking, hey, I can see how we work together here. I can see how we're a part of one another. We're both eyes, but we have that same vision. Yeah, but you got to be boss. Just chill. If the right love is shown, you don't have to worry about being the boss. Now, keep following me here. Therefore, now watch this. Oh, well, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as also Christ, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Can you see what the head is about in here? This is about helping the body. I mean, saving the body. So the connection to me, that's a sacrifice right there. And it's connected to submission. If I'm not willing to save and sacrifice, my wife may not be willing to submit. Now, I will tell you in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Word of God says that when a man does not follow the Word of God, yet a woman submits with a kind heart and a loving heart, then God will have an opportunity through her behavior to bring salvation to that man. So I'm going to help you, ladies. Sometimes it ain't going your way. You just got to hang in there. You got to make up your mind. Now, I'm not telling you to hang in if you're getting your eyeballs beaten out. I'm not telling you to hang in under circumstances like that. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying this. We're quitting too quick. We're throwing in the towel way before time. Therefore, just as, here we go again, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything, just as the church. Husbands, love your wives. Look at me, guys. You loved her when you dated her. You loved her when you were married to her. So don't be coming and telling me, I don't know if I ever loved her. You did love her. I get sick of talking to people that tell me, I just falling out of love. You don't fall out of anything. Well, I never did love them. Yes, you did. You are now lying to me. You got to be on the other end of these discussions we have around here. We need to understand a little bit about the Word of God, but this is one of the issues here that there are going to be some problems. We're going to have issues like that, but someone's got to make up their mind that God has something in control here. Therefore, just as husband loves your wife, love your wives, verse 25, just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. There's your sacrifice. And don't be telling me you're going to give up your life for your wife. I've been married 46 years. Ain't nobody pulled a gun on her yet. So it's easy for me to say I'll give my life. You don't know whether you will or not. If you won't give up a TV program, you probably won't give up your life. All right. This is called the power of the pause. That he might, now watch this. Yeah, he loves her, gives himself for her, that he, now watch this, that he might sanctify, that set apart, make her special, and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Can I help you right now, guys? We got a lot of women that have word wounds because you don't know how to talk to her. And I'm going to help you right now. I'd love for you to make divorce your cuss word instead of damn. My son Gabriel used to say damn when he was a little guy. So my wife was getting on to him, about changing his language and couldn't say that. And it was a bad word. Oh, he's a little kid, you know. So it was a bad word. He shouldn't say it. And she said, There are different kinds of dams. There is a dam like a beaver makes, or they build a dam, but the other dam is a bad word. He was using it correctly, by the way. Like, at 3 years old, that damn toy. I mean, he knew how to use the word. I'm serious as I can be. So we're trying to get him out of the word. All I can think is he must have gotten it off of her because I never said that. So we're trying to get him off the word, and his mama is mad now. His mama was trying to get him to say the right word, and she heard him. He did something, you know, and hurt himself. He said, that damn whatever it was. And she said, Gabriel, what did I just tell you? He said, beaver's damn, mama. It would be worth my preaching to you this morning. It'd be worth my preaching if you would get divorce out of your vocabulary. Divorce is not a part of what you need to be saying. You'll never heal your home. You'll never get your wife right if that's what you're trying to do, but telling her you're going to divorce her. Get that out of your language. And ladies, quit leaving. You keep doing that, I'm going to leave you. Shut up. Find something else to say. Let your marriage work for you a little bit. And I'm helping you more than you amen. But let me tell you something. You people that came out of a divorce situation, which I did, I'm going to tell you right now, the actions of my parents spoke a lot louder than their words. They can point me to the Word of God and tell me, Michael, that, you know, you just got to serve God and try to make me understand. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't understand it today. My mama's 91. I don't understand it today. What they say has not changed how I feel about what happened. Excuse me just a minute. That's one of the problems. And when kids out of a divorced family marry someone, that devil goes with them. And that thing gets up in their marriage and starts telling them that if it gets too hard, I'm leaving. Or if I don't like that, I'm going to leave. Or get on out of the house or whatever it's going to be. You know, you sleep on your side of the bed, I'll sleep on mine. I know y'all don't do that in here. Right? You don't sleep on one side and if she reaches up and touches you with her foot, get your foot off me. Give me a sign. Watch this. That he... See, some of y'all did that last night and know you're in trouble. that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish, something valuable. So husbands, watch it, so husbands ought to. In the same way that Jesus washes us with the word is the same way we're going to show love to our wife. You have to open your mouth and be nice. I just don't tell people I love them. Well, start telling them. Get you a new word. And look at me. Don't be proud of your stupidness. You can get delivered of every devil but stupid. On that one, you just got to grow up. Amen. I'm just saying, guys, we need to get over some of this stuff and move on. So husbands ought to love their own wife. I can't tell them I love them. You are pathetic. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. So look how many times love is put in here. It must be because we need to understand that. For no one hates his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Just as. Not as your mama did, not as your daddy did, not as your aunt or uncle did, not as your grandparents did, as Jesus did. You look at me. Treat your wife like Jesus treats you. You'll change your vocabulary. You'll change your actions. Your life will have a different principle and a better future if you can just do what he did and quit trying to make your marriage look like the world view. The world view is a pathetic view of what our lives are. All you got to do is watch a little TV or read a newspaper and see all the goofiness going on. Let me tell you what a worldview is, because some of y'all don't know what it is maybe, but let me help you in this. A worldview is a theory of the world. It's used for living in the world. A worldview is a mental model of reality. In other words, I make it up. I make my reality. A framework of ideas and attitudes about the world, ourselves, and life, and a comprehensive system of beliefs with answers for a wide range of questions. In other words, a worldview is what you think about life and how you're going to live that life. And I'm going to say right now, in the church, I wish we had a better worldview, because our worldview says that we can get a divorce over any and everything that we want to get a divorce over, and then we'll get married again, and then we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, and that's a worldview. We need to get a gospel view. Jesus, when he quoted Genesis about the man and the woman become one flesh, when he began to give that, he said after that, and what, this is Matthew 19, and after that he says, and what God put together, let no man separate. Pastor, you're making me feel bad because I got a divorce. You need to feel bad. You needed to feel bad. You didn't need to feel good when you got it. But he was wrong. It ain't about him, it's about you. You don't know what she did. Don't care what she did. This is you. And you ought to feel bad about it. How many's ever felt bad about something you didn't do, but you took the blame for it? You kind of owned it, although you didn't do it. Like you let your kid do something, they got hurt maybe, and you said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's me. See, what the worldview on divorce is, pick your sides, and whoever the judge leans toward is the one God loves. If you win, you need to feel bad. But our worldview won't let us do that. The Bible says that we should be like Christ, as Christ in the church. Let me just say this about Jesus and who he is and the part of the Godhead and how we are the body. Do you understand that Jesus is co-equal with God? You do know your Bible. So Jesus, listen to me, they don't have big throne, little throne, and little bitty throne for the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying, this is the look you just gave me. Well, you don't know God's got the big chair. Jesus got the little one. He's the boy. Look at me, let me tell you something. The Bible says he thought it not robbery that he'd step out of heaven from equality with God to come down here and be with us. I'm going to help you right now. There's an equality. The only time you need someone over somebody is in creation or in the church world. You can't dissect God. You can't divide him and know how the Godhead works. I'm going to tell you something else. Jesus said it this way. He said, I'm getting ready to go, John 14. I'm getting ready to go, but I'm going to tell you, boy, something. I'm leaving, but I'm leaving somebody with you. I'm sending him back to you. His name is Holy Ghost. And watch this. He is another. Another is the word. Another comforter. The word another is allos. It means just like me. So when people say, I wish Jesus were here, Holy Ghost is here. That's God. You don't have three gods in heaven. You've got a God in heaven. He manifests himself depending on what's happening. But he doesn't have to manifest three to you to prove Trinity. Because he is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is co-equality. Now, if you believe that, and I do believe that, then my marriage, even though I'm the head and she's the body, there's co-equality here. In other words, I understand who's going to make the last decision. I get that, but we need to get back. The Bible says we submit one to another. There is a mutual place of submission. There's a place where love will put somebody in a special place. And gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. You need to quit lording over her and just be the head and be the sacrificial individual that saves her, puts the right words on her. And I believe submission can come out of that. I'm just saying. Listen, and another thing. This portion of Scripture is not about submission and servants. It's all about Jesus. And it's about us being like him and your marriage reflecting him. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, who he loves. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one has ever hated his own flesh but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31 is the quote out of the Old Testament. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and shall be joined, shall be brought together with, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What's the next four words? This is a great mystery. How many of y'all know that Jesus is the head and we're the body? The wife and the husband are together like the body is to Christ. We are one flesh. That's a mystery. I can't figure out the Godhead, and I can't figure out marriage in the sense of we're one flesh. But when God sees us, he sees one flesh. Well, you know, we're going off of the last minister that had a divorce and left his wife, and, you know, they had a divorce, so it must be okay. It's not okay. That's a jacked up minister. It I think some of the folk that do some of their stuff publicly ought to apologize publicly. I think if you're going to be on national TV and you're going to get a divorce and you're going to separate and you're going to share the church or, you know, sell out the furniture or whatever, and you're going to do all of that on national TV, I would just think one person ought to get up on national TV with their mug on the TV and say, I've gone through something that is really not good, rather than not saying anything and everybody is kind of fluffing along with it. And then a whole congregation assumes it must be all right. We know if you watch gospel TV, the people on there that were married that aren't married anymore, and I'm going to tell you, that speaks to you with thundering silence, that nobody's saying anything, but it talks to you about what happened. Pastor, you're just making it like it's not supposed to be a divorce. Hello? For this reason, a man ought to leave his mom and daddy. He ought to be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, I mean, I'm talking about Christ and church, but nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, so here it is, love his own wife as himself. And what? And let the wife see that she respects her husband. In other words, the bottom line is, boys, we got to love her. We've got to treat her like Christ treats us and treats the church. And ladies, you've got to respect him. If you want the trash taken out, maybe you shouldn't say, well, it's overflowing again. I'll help you on that one. It'll overflow some more. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. How many of y'all remember the story of the man who built his house, or the carpenter, the man who built his house on the rock? Right? What did the other guy do? Where did he build his house? And what happened? Great story. You did very well with it. And he was acting like a foolish man. You know what the Bible says? Look at me. Let me tell you something. The Bible didn't say he's a sinner. Oh, you're not amening now? See, we look at that and say, well, the one that built his house on the sand, that was a sinner. No, it wasn't a sinner. Jesus never said it was a sinner. He said it was a fool. So you keep building your house, you keep building your marriage on some wives' tale and over somebody else's, what they saying, what happened to your granddaddy. We don't care what happened to your granddaddy. We care about you building your house on the rock, Jesus Christ, and getting a family that'll stay together. Look at me. If you've been divorced, I love you. I love my mama. She's been divorced. I love my mama. I think the divorce stinks. She got married a second time, or third, I can't remember. That's another story, and she won't listen to this. So I think there was another one before my dad that I didn't know about when she was really young. Just saying, this has been in my family. But all I know is this, is I love my mama. And she's going to go to heaven. And she had another marriage, and it was great until death they did part. My stepdad died. And here's all I'm going to say. I love her, and I love you. And if you've had a divorce, I love you. It's not that I'm against you. It's you've got to build a case for not doing it again. You've got to build a case that you're going to move forward with somebody, and it's going to last this time, and the devil's not getting into it. So listen, don't be the foolish one that builds his house on the sand. Build it on the Word of God. Amen? I'll give you one more thought here. How many of y'all remember I've got three little thoughts I want to give you to close, and I'll make those quick. How many of y'all remember in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus is in the first, some of y'all have heard of this already, so don't chime in real quick. So the first like seven or eight verses, Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus. Remember that? And he said, I'm telling you, I've watched your works and they're mighty. And I've seen your patience and it's strong. And I've seen your ability to work the kingdom of God. And I've seen that you can even listen to an apostle and tell us whether they're really true or not. But I've got something against you. What did Ephesus do? Excuse me just a minute. What did they do? They didn't lose it. They left it. We here preached, they lost the first love. They didn't lose anything. They left it. Abandon is another word. Abandon it. They left it. Their first love. Now listen to me real quick. Jesus says you need to repent, right? You need to repent, and you need to go back, and you need to do the first works again. You know what that means? That doesn't mean to go back here and start working your salvation. It means go back to the same attitude you had when you got started. Let me help you with your marriage. Why don't you go back to the attitude you had the first day you were married or the second day instead of getting along here 25 years later saying, I don't love them. And Jesus said, yeah, you walked away from it. You abandoned it. And you're going to blame them because there's no love left. I'm going to tell you about kids and grandkids. Love them all you want to, but if they're the center of your life, you're in trouble if you don't have some love at that house. We made up our minds we're going to love each other when our kids were gone. It's something we had to make up our minds about. So let me give you this just real quick, three things that are in here. One is the calling of God. There's a calling of God for the couples, and it's in verse number 31. You've got a calling on your life. Verse 31 for couples. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined together to his wife. These two shall become one flesh. This is right here. A calling for you. People say, I want to know what my calling is. Look at here. Before you get your calling to be an evangelist or a prophet, why don't you get your calling to be a husband and a wife? Why don't you get that one right? Then we'll look at you for something else. Here's another one. He says this, these two shall become one. Have y'all ever read that and think that that's bad math? Huh? Do you read it and accept it, right? These two shall be one. Look at it. That's bad math. One plus one, my wife says it's 11. It's not 11. It's one plus one. You need to read. I'm going to tell you why. We read over that very quickly, and we say the two shall be one. Hallelujah, glory to God, and we're going to move forward. Look at me. Let me tell you something. God's math is so weird. It has to be supernatural. That's the mystery, because he can take one plus one and equal one. He can take these two and make them be together as one. He adds one plus one, and he doesn't get two, he gets one. That's bad math, but it's great preaching that we should be one. So I'm just saying the calling for us as a couple is that we get together and we stay together. We have two eyes, one vision, two ears, one hearing. There's a blend. I'm going to tell you something else. I know you don't want to hear, but I will say this. There are a lot of individual rights you will lose and opinions when you get married. Some of them bite. They're a sacrifice. But I'm going to say this. My wife's got some too to change. So she gave up just like I did. There was an issue in our lives, and here's what I did not do, and I'm going to tell you guys, you don't have Bible to say, bless God, this house is going to do. If you've gotten to that point, you already got a wreck called a marriage. If you've ended up having to bang the table to get everybody to do what you want, you've already screwed up your marriage. Because there should be a love. You need to read 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says that there's a love that ought to be there, and there ought to be a place where we understand our wife as valuable. And the Bible says if we don't do that, our prayers will be hindered. Men, if we don't love her, if we don't take care of knowing who she is, love her with understanding, the Bible says, and see her as a weaker vessel, the Bible says, and see her as someone we need to protect and love, then the Bible also lets me know that my prayers will be hindered. Let me help you on something else. You can pray for that leukemia to be gone all day long, but if you and your wife are sideways, it ain't working. I've been praying over my finances, man, and it's just going under and going under. How's your marriage? Well, it's all jacked up, but I'm praying. I love God. You can love God all day long, but the Bible says your prayers are hindered, guys, if we don't try to understand her and love her and see her as valuable. Okay, then for husbands, I've already hit you with that, but verse number, yours is in verse number 33, and that is that nevertheless, that means this is it right here. What we've got to do is love our wives. Say, I love my wife. Before the fall of Adam, no one had to be told this. Before sin, no one had to be told you're going to be one flesh. You got to leave your mom and daddy. Well, there wasn't a mom and daddy, I guess. But it wasn't necessary. But God ended up having to say it because of sin. You need to think about that. All of this is given to us because things are jacked up. We need to get them right. Let's fall in love with our wives. Here's the other one. Is wives is also in verse number 33, and that is to cultivate respect. One of the easiest ways to respect your husband is your little attitude. Your response when you don't get your way and you turn your head to the mirror. That's like that woman one time mad at her old husband in a car riding along. She said, our marriage is a wreck. I'm tired of being in a marriage with you. Used to when we went along on the road, we'd sat together all the time. You put your arm around me, and nowadays we don't do that. I'm upset and I'm mad. I'm just ready to get a divorce. And she's ranting and raving. He's driving. When she got done, he let her shoot all of her bullets. When she got done, he said, baby, I'm in the same place now I was 20 years ago. I'm just saying, maybe we need to let that soak in on us a little bit. Amen? That we cultivate responses, ladies. Rolling your eyes and huffing and stomping and slamming stuff. I know men don't do that. Look, guys, I know we're a bunch of powders too. And I wish you weren't, but you are. Shoot, I own it. I know I am. I'll tell my wife when I come in, leave me alone for a while. Let me get my head straight. But I'm going to tell you something. At least she knows I'm not mad at her. If I got something going on in my life, I tell her first thing, okay. Or she'll say, you got a thing? I say, I do right now. I need about an hour and I'll get over it. I'll move forward. I'd rather do that and have a good marriage than to go around huffing and puffing and her never doing anything right because I'm mad at something else. Let's look into our marriage and change some things. And the Bible says, wife, your calling is respect your husband. Do you know what sashaying is? That ain't putting on smell good. It's what the old folk used to say, sashaying. I hate to do it, but it's when you just kind of prance off. Just. The Bible says that you need to love your wife and respect your husband as Christ the church. And we don't see Jesus walking away from us. As a matter of fact, I see one that'll leave 99 to go find the one. He'll walk away from that to find where you are. He's not going to sashay away because you got your feelings hurt. He is the prodigal dad that runs out on the road and says, I know my baby's coming home. I'm looking for him to come home. That's who we are. Our marriage needs to reflect that relationship. You didn't get saved because you're pretty and have a bunch of money. You got saved because you were pathetic and God loved you. We all did that. Amen. I want you to stand with me if you would. Say, ladies, say this. Say, submission is a tool, Pastor. If I work it right, I'll build a good family. Men say, love is a tool. If I'll start saying it and demonstrating it, I can build a real family.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.